enterprising in my surroundings. I'm finding the quietest of states these days. Just representation of storm brewing. Amazed that the focus remains the focal point of my change.
I am so excited to be back with Carolyn Sue for the love of running. Here we are. I'm so excited, Carolyn Sue. We are here. We are presented by Tracksmith, as always, every month. And I can't wait to get into it with you. Part of the reason we're doing this is because we have, it seems like, a lot of parallels in our lives. We say this every time. And it's no different today. I'm actually recording this before I drop my kid off at camp. And I know you are hyper busy as well, and we are making it work. And that is part of the deal, not only for this podcast, our multi-podcast episodes, but our running life as well. So here we are. We're making it happen.
Yeah. Here we go. 8 a.m. on a Friday morning.
There we go. All right. So we should give a shout out, first of all, to our presenting sponsor, Tracksmith. You can see, Carolyn can see, you can't see because this is a podcast and there's no video element to it, but I am wearing some Tracksmith gear right now. I will say it's hot. It's humid and hot mm-hmm. today. You know this because mm-hmm. you live about an hour away from me. Here in New England, it's hot and it's humid. So for me, the shirt that I'm going to be wearing on my run later today is the Van Cortlandt tee, because that is the most breathable Tracksmith shirt that I own. It is not a new piece of apparel for them. It's actually the classic Tracksmith piece of apparel with kind of the diagonal stripe across the front. But when it's hot, when it's humid, that is always my go-to shirt. How about you, Carolyn? Do you have like a go-to when it's really, really sticky?
Yeah, I was going to say the Van Cortlandt as well. Oh, either the shirt
or
the tank.
We did not say this ahead of time, people. This was not scripted.
Yeah, or I mean, I just ordered one of their Twilight. Is it the Twilight? Yeah. The Twilight tops. So that's like an even lighter weight, more breathable type of fabric that's like, Yeah. Anyway, and they have some new colors out. And so I love how it's just, it almost feels like, it's just like second skin. And it's very soft, very comfortable. And I love that it doesn't smell bad. You know, like a lot of that dry, the old school traditional dry fit material, you sweat once in it and it's like, you got to immediately get it into the
wash.
It
never goes away.
Otherwise, I don't know how to get that stuff out. But With the Twilight material and also with the Van Cortlandt, I have never had a problem with it smelling. Not that I just leave my sweaty clothes like all bunched up.
Breaking news, Carolyn Sue does not wash her running attire.
those are my hot weather summer favorites.
I love it. All right. So big shout out to Tracksmith. Use code for the love at tracksmith.com. So you can either use tracksmith.com/for the love or just use code, promo code for the love, and you will get 5% of your purchase order will go to our favorite charity, the Asians Mental Health Collective, which is doing wonderful, wonderful work here across the country and just helping people who need help. And that's the key to philanthropy, helping people who need help and feeling good about it. Also, you're going to get some good attire as well. Also, shout out, they are partnering with Malcolm Gladwell for a podcast called Legacy of Speed. Great history of track kind of podcast. Malcolm Gladwell is fantastic. If people don't know this, you probably do, but he is an enormous running fan. And now he has a podcast miniseries dedicated to history of track and inclusion and people standing up for what they believe in. And it's just, but at the same time, it's very track focused, which is really fun and exciting. He's doing a great job. So go check out Legacy of Speed. Not right now. Wait till after the podcast. This podcast first, please, people. But after Legacy of Speed, it's good. Actually, small snippets, about 25, 30 minutes per episode, similar to Revisionist History from a length perspective and from a production quality perspective. So go check that out as well. So, Carolyn, how are you doing?
Oh, gosh. It feels like such a complicated question these days, but if I'm just going to be like honest right now, you know, Friday morning again, like it's early, but I got my new favorite Starbucks drink. It's the salted caramel cream cold brew. Oh. Have you had this? Have you had any
of
their? I haven't,
but like, I'm all for salt. Salted caramel is one of my favorite flavors. Like all my goos are salted caramel.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Okay. I already love that flavor combination. And I usually am just, honestly, like year round, it doesn't matter if it's like warm weather or cold weather. I'm just like a black coffee drinker. That's it. Like I make my coffee in the mornings. It's black. I don't like to have anything in it. But I just happened to stumble upon, like, I caved. I had stopped into Starbucks after a run with a friend last week. We were all hot and sweaty, and so I did not want to drink a hot drink. And I looked at one of the pictures. I totally fell for the marketing and promotions. But they had this, like, enticing, beautiful picture of this salted caramel cream cold brew with, like, the water droplets coming down the side. And I was like, I have to try that. That looks refreshing. And it's so good.
The drink is sweating. The drink needs a Van Cortlandt t-shirt. It's sweating in the hot weather.
Yes. So anyway, so I'm having that. It's good. My kids and I are going to go to the beach later today. It'll be our first official summer beach trip. So yeah, thanks for recording early this morning just so that I can get my kids out.
Oh, that's fun. Good for you guys. That's for sure. Actually, yeah, we'll do Family Jam right now. Because Family Jam is a segment we like to do in the podcast. We call it Family Jam because it can be sweet, a sweet touching moment, or you're stuck in a jam.
Yes.
Can be a little tough. So it can go either way, or hey, you know what? Some of these things, they get a little bit of both. So our Family Jam, which wasn't terrible by any sense of the imagination, it actually was kind of sweet, maybe a little bit of both, was my daughter is at Girl Scout camp this week. It's a day camp. And she, like, really took to it. She was all about it. And it was like, you know, you needed a ton of stuff. Every day the bag had to be filled with all this gear. And, you know, you might not know what might happen. You need all these, like, you need your lunch and you need your bug spray and you need your poncho and you need this and then this and then this. And then the last night, so we're recording this on Friday morning. So on Thursday night, one of the nice parts of the camp is you can, even for the day campers, you can choose to sleep over the last night because it's kind of like a day camp and sleepover camp kind of melded into one. So there are kids who were sleeping there all week. So we are letting my daughter last night sleep over with a couple of her friends who are doing it as well.
Oh, that's fun.
This is her first time basically sleeping out anywhere. She's had some friends sleep over our house before, but besides sleeping in her grandparents' house, which she does all the time, this is her first time doing that. So she was pumped, but it was funny. Like, I was joking because if someone was, like, witnessing her going out to the car yesterday morning as she went to camp, getting ready to stay over, and then also packing the stuff for Friday for all the camp stuff. So basically 2 days and one night, they would have thought that Callie was moving out. And be like, all right, I guess the Chittums are going to be a one-child family from now on. She had so much stuff. It was wild. Kudos to her for helping pack it. And my wife was assisting her with that. And it was quite the endeavor. That is for sure. But it was a lot. But she was pumped. And it was kind of like a whole, you know, like a foundational moment of like, all right, she's doing the first sleepover camp moment.
Mm-hmm. And that's a milestone.
She was really excited about it. So I'm assuming it went well. She actually, I can make that assumption without it just being a complete shot in the dark, because we actually bought her for her birthday, which was not that long ago, one of those Gizmo watches.
You ever seen those?
So people don't know, it's a Gizmo watch. It's basically like an Apple Watch, but it's like completely watered down for kids. So it's basically like they can call like 10 people and they can like kind of like voice text 10 people. And it has like a GPS tracker on it when it's on and stuff like that. So she had that in her bag. So if she needed to get a hold of us, it was in there. And the app is great because I can see like everything she does to the point where like if she turns it on, it sends me a notification. If she turns it off, it sends me a notification. So she'd never even bothered turning it on, which means either she's having a great time or she threw it in the lake by mistake. So we'll see.
I love that. Like, she doesn't even wear the watch. It's just like a device that she packed away.
Well, I don't think she's allowed to wear it. She's been wearing it plenty.
Oh, I see.
Plenty.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's, you know, like if someone came into our house, they'd be like, is your daughter just upstairs talking to herself? Like, no, she's probably talking to her grandparents through her phone or whatever, or through her watch or whatever. But no, I think that she probably just doesn't want to put it on because of like she might not be allowed to. And they're all kind of in and out of the water and all that stuff. But, you know, Family Jam moment. It was kind of like a little bit of a hard stuck jam kind of pack everything and getting it ready. And I'm not gonna pretend like I did that. I was much more on sun duty with basketball camping, doing other things around the house. But it was a big lift, but also sweet thing of like, hey, another step in the maturation.
Yeah. Wait, so then what is this Girl Scout camp like? Because you know, it sounds the Girl Scouts that I know of growing up, you know, and also just that my daughter was involved in many years ago when she was in kindergarten, first grade. It was mostly just arts and crafts things. but is it different now? Like, I never knew that Girl Scouts had these like week-long camps where they have to be prepared for anything and everything that could happen. Has it changed now?
Yeah, I think as they get older, the activities get more physical.
Oh, okay, okay.
So like there's like an archery component. Basically, oh, cool. It just feels like any kind of like rural day camp is kind of what it is.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So yeah. It's kind of like that rural out in the woods day camp. So it is a Girl Scout camp, but I think that, you know, by any other name, it would be just a traditional day camp.
It's like
for
a
all
camp.
Intents and purposes.
Okay.
Oh, so okay. I think that's good what it is. I mean, it costs us a small fortune.
All right.
I'll tell you that. Like, my son's basketball camp was like a much easier pill to swallow. Like the town basketball camp at the town high school. But this was a very different entity. But it's one of those things where like she's into it. She's been doing Girl Scouts for over a year now. So it's kind of like, all right, like this is not a fly by night endeavor. She wants to be in it. She's going to be doing it next year. So it's kind of like, all right, we'll save the money and send her. And she had a great time. That's the thing. It's like because it was day camp except for the last night. We were able to see that she'd come home and she's like amped, like every morning, which is very atypical for her. She's like write out a to-do list of what she needs to do before camp. We're like, what is, whose child is this? This is not our child. Callie is like extremely like loves big ideas. You can tell like she wants to run a business. Like she is very like, she's always coming with business ideas and like she's in it. Right. She wants to do big
things. I wonder where she gets that from.
She is not great on the details or the planning. So it's kind of like, I want to like run my own business, but I'm completely incapable of putting my dirty clothes in the laundry. So
she's a visionary.
In the hamper. I mean, just do the laundry. She's like, can you just put those dirty clothes in the hamper? Sure, Dad. Like, all right, I've said it 19 times now. I'm serious. Can you please do it? So it's kind of funny to see her like dive into like the prep. It's like, who is this? Who's doing this? This is amazing.
Gosh. Oh, I love that. You're starting to see, you know, just your kids come alive in all these new and different ways, and they're growing into like their themselves and unlocking like new aspects of themselves. So that's really exciting.
How about you?
Let's see. Family jam. Well, I guess along the terms of camps, I mean, we really haven't planned. For the longest time, my family, we didn't really enroll our kids in camps, mostly because, as you were saying, it is not cheap.
No, this is our first year. Things. Our first year for both kids.
Oh, for camps in general?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, it's always
for me. And it's funny because it's the first time for both kids and it's the same week. It's like, it's a lot of firsts going on around here.
Yeah. What are you guys going to do for the rest of summer if it's no camps?
My in-laws live across the street, and they have a pool.
Choo-choo. Oh, and it's like, well, there we go.
It's like joining a pool club where we live. Like, they have the pool across the street. Like, let's do it. And my wife is, like, a huge beach person. Like, she grew up going to the beach every day in the summer. Like, that was just her deal. I live in Rhode Island, so we're in the Ocean State. She lived 15 minutes from a really nice beach, like a beach that, like, people would vacation to. Like, she didn't grow up, like, on, like, you know, on a house overlooking the beach, but like Rhode Island's small, man, everything's pretty close together. So like she literally, you know, be able to take a, you know, quick drive down, you know, 15 minutes if there's no beach traffic, maybe an hour if there is. But you know, that was her thing. She loves the beach. She loves being outside in hot weather. And so the kids like it too. So not exactly my favorite thing for sure, but the kids love it too. So they do a lot of that, but we are talking about saving. Like we haven't gone anywhere in 2.5 years. Like we've just been saving money. For That's two true. And a half years. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to take our first family vacation in a long time we're going to Orlando. So we're going to go half
Fun.
Disney, half
yeah.
Universal
oh
in
my
a
gosh.
Couple weeks.
Are you going to do Harry Potter World?
Darn right we are.
Yes. Oh, I'm so jealous.
We're doing the whole thing, man. We're really excited. So The kids are pumped. I don't think it like has completely set in yet because they had like the camp thing that they were.
Yeah.
That was what was next for them. Mm-hmm. But next week, I think it's going to start kind of crystallizing. I'm like, hey, in a couple weeks, we're going. This is going to be great. So
is this the first time y'all are doing Disney? Or have the kids ever gone to Disney World before?
My son doesn't remember. He was like 2 years old. So this was a while ago. This was 5 or 6 years ago. So my daughter vaguely remembers it.
Okay.
Because she was 5. So she was like, had just finished kindergarten. I mean, he was just going into kindergarten. And my son was a toddler. So he was just like, you know, he wasn't bumping around. You know, he was like crawling over to like Goofy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
so he's like,
yeah.
You know, we have pictures. He loves looking through videos, but yeah. Like he doesn't have any recollection of any of it. So yeah, this will be the first time that both of them are like, I feel like we had to do it now because like, again, my daughter just turned 10. Like,
yeah,
her interest in that could wane very quickly. So it's like kind of like one of those, like, if we want to get the most out of it, and it's something we actually want to do, kind of now is the time to get it done, where they're both kind of in the prime zone.
Yeah. Where they would love it, and it still feels very magical. I mean, although I got to say, I think that Disney does a great job of still making it feel magical, regardless of what age.
Yeah. There you go. How about you?
Plug for Disney. We are actually going to take an epic road trip from Massachusetts to Texas.
Later hey, this summer. Look at you going back to Texas.
Yeah.
UT grad. Go Horns.
Yeah, because we haven't been back since 2019. You know, our families are both both there, and the kids haven't seen their grandparents in a couple of years now. Wow. And now that we have a dog, we cannot. I mean, we
Tomo.
Want to. Yep, Tomo. we we're gonna bring him with us since we can't fly with him, and I don't think we can board him somewhere for like 2 to 3 weeks. So we're going to make a big, big trip out of it. And so I've been looking at all of these different like family road trip blogs and trying to plan what our route is going to look like. And I think I have right now I have a general framework where when we're going down, we'll go along the coast and hit up the big cities, you know, and kind of do like a historical thing. Or I don't think we're going to stay for very long in New York City itself, just because I feel like logistically speaking, it's really difficult to like to do that. But we'll go to DC, you know, stop into Philly, and then potentially, you know, like somewhere in the Carolinas. And then maybe hit up Myrtle Beach and then cut over to New Orleans and then like get into the Houston area. And then on our way back, I want us to go through more of the national park route and go through, you know, like Appalachians or, you know, that kind
of
thing.
And that route, you might be able to hit up Nashville too.
Yeah. So still a work in progress here, mostly my work in progress that I got to figure out. But that's going to be our big summer thing.
That's exciting. Man. Oh, that's awesome. And you're like remember the movie Road Trip? It's like one of those like goofy comedies like of our like early
20s. Is that the one with like Chevy Chase? That one?
No, not one of those. It's like one of like those stupid ones like post-American Pie, same kind of cast of characters. I think Tom Green was in it.
Okay.
But like, one of the primary like elements of the movie was like this miscommunication of like whether someone was in Austin or Boston. And I always think like Carolyn Sue's both, man. She's Austin and Boston. This is, and now she's going on a road trip. Like this is road trip two, Carolyn Sue.
Yeah. So stay tuned. We'll see how that goes. It could be like amazing or it could be a disaster. So
is strongly entrenched in the middle of those two.
Either way, I think
it'll probably
be
a lot of both. A lot of amazing, a lot of disasters.
Oh gosh. So if anyone listening has any, you know, like tips for family road trip things to do, please send them my way. I would appreciate it. Because right now I'm like, I don't know. We cannot be watching iPad things the entire time. And I know we can get some audiobooks, but other than that, I'm kind of like, I have no idea what it's going to look like. And again, we're going to have our dog with us. So
and Tomo. Tomo's cute. He'll provide some entertainment.
Yeah. So.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
All right, let's talk about some running stuff. All right, we're 19 minutes in. Right, here we come.
What's going on with you right now? Like, I see all of your Strava posts, and you're like, your mileage is increasing again, and what's going on?
We're building up. Nothing amazing's happening. It's just kind of like a slow build in the 40s now for mileage, which is nice. When we're on vacation, like, it's going to be like, get in what you can get in. I'm not going to put any pressure on myself, frankly, to get it in. It's like, we're in Disney. I'm not going to be like, no kids, no rides. Dad has to run. Like
running loops around
your place.
The teacup ride.
Running comes first. So it'll be like, if I get running in, great. If I don't, great. I mean, this is a once in a lifetime vacation. I'm not going to stress about it. So I'm not worried about that. Hopefully get in some quality running before that, like basically a month full of, 4 to 5 weeks full of like 40, maybe hit 50 miles.
What's your mindset?
It hasn't been like...
What is your mindset now? What's your mindset now? Coming off of, I know you had a disappointing race.
Right. Well, with Eugene, when I think back to Eugene, it was like, I just scheduled too much that week. Mm-hmm. That's it. Right. I scheduled too much. I was just on with like the live shows and meeting with people, and I got to the race day and I had no energy left. And it was like, oh man, what a waste. Mm-hmm. Right. But from a training perspective, I wouldn't change much building up to it. Now it's still the same, basically the same thing of like needing to just be consistent. So, I'm at the point now where like the long runs are starting to get back to the 2 hour mark, which for me, like there is a mental block there. It can feel daunting. Also, it's hard for me, and I advise this with everyone I talk to, whether I'm coaching them or just, people I like talking to about running. It's like going into these runs with the idea of like not having pace pressure on yourself. But I feel like I don't even have pace on my watch. Like I just have overall time and I have overall mileage. I don't even have, and they're not even on the same screen. So I'm not like doing quick math the whole time. Right. So like I don't know my pace when I'm running, which is useful. But like I feel like I am like kind of self-judging the entire time. Like, how am I feeling? How am I doing? So I just need to be able to like go out and run and not like be constantly like, how is it going now? Kind of like how we are with injuries. Like, how's it feel now? So I do get in that mode occasionally. And if I do that, it does potentially make the run less enjoyable, especially if it's like, not every run's above average. Numerically, that's impossible. Then the average would be shifted. But the idea of if it's a slightly below average run and you're constantly like checking in on yourself, and then you're constantly aware of it being, you don't feel quite as good or fresh or poppy as you would like to, then I feel like you can get in your own head. And that happened to me yesterday. And it was just kind of like, ugh. Like, it was supposed to be a long run yesterday. And it just didn't have a great day out there. And I like kind of was like, oh, well, I'll just make this like a... my Friday run. I'll switch my long run to tomorrow, right? I did like the internal rationalization, which I ended up doing and I regret it. But, so I ended up running like 8.5 yesterday. And like today I'll go run 14, which should have been the other way around. So I guess I got to stay on top of it, I guess is all. And just try to keep my mind right.
I mean, so if this was one of your athletes, like how would you respond to them? Like what would you tell them?
Oh, it's just kind of like, one of the things like, hey, just go out and enjoy it. Like, why are you putting pressure on yourself? And it's not like I was putting pressure on myself. It was more just like, it was one of those strange runs. I put this on Strava and like the Strava like write-up was like, it was one of those strange runs where like, because I don't know my pace, because I purposely don't have it on there, because I don't want to be hyper aware of it all the time. I thought I was running way slower than I actually was. And that usually isn't the case. Usually it's like the other way around. So like I finished the run and I was expecting like I thought I was going super slow. I had to stop a couple times to kind of reset. I'm like, why do I feel weird? Like, this is weird. So I turn off the watch in my car, about to drive home, look at it, look at the splits. I'm like, what? This is like way faster than I thought I was going. And I'm like, in retrospect, I'm like, this is one of the rare moments where I actually wish I had a pace on my watch. Usually, I think 99% of the time it helps not having it on there. This time I was like, if I had known that I was running like 8:20 pace for the first 6 miles, I would have been like, oh, well, yeah. Like, yeah, maybe you're just not up running that pace today. That's fine. Like, just back it off. But I thought I was running like 9:40 pace. So it's like, for me, it was like, this is feeling way harder than it should. Think something's like just not quite right. Maybe today's not your day. Yada, 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 yada. In retrospect, none of those things were true. I just had a bad sense of how fast I was going. And what are you going to do? But I think it does bring to bear the fact that, like, just stick with it, kind of like no need for constant self-analysis, I guess.
Oh, okay. So it was that you were going a lot faster than what you thought, and that's why you were feeling more tired than expected. And so because you were feeling tired, you were also then like telling yourself that maybe it was just an off day. So then that's why you stopped. And so now you're frustrated that you stopped. So
yes, exactly. Gosh. Afterwards, I was like, it's like Anchorman, like milk was a bad choice. Like stopping was a bad choice. It's not. I'm bringing out some really old movie references here, but
I mean, you wouldn't have known that. And today's a new day. And so then, like, knowing what you know now, like, what is your mindset going into your long run today?
Just run the damn miles. Right? Okay. Turn off your brain. Just run them. Yeah. Just, it doesn't matter the pace. Just run them. So,
what do you do to turn off your brain? Like, do you listen to podcasts too when you're running, or do you just listen to music?
I do listen to podcasts. Yeah, for sure. Unless I'm running on trails, which I don't listen to anything because I just need to be focused. Because as you know, the trails around here can be so technical that I can't be multitasking in my brain. I need to be focused.
Yeah.
Not just for safety, but like if I do that, I just run slower too because I'm just, I'm inherently more hesitant as opposed to like being locked in and getting some sign of flow and groove going. So, that's kind of how it's going. How about you?
Okay. I'm not sure if we talked about this last time, but I kind of like messed up my knee a little bit.
We did not. We actually were talking about quite the opposite. Like, she's back. She's feeling good. Oh,
gosh, Matt. I constantly feel like I'm broken. And maybe I'm just aging too. But it was like 2 to 4 weeks because of COVID, you know, I had 2 to 4 weeks of about inactivity. And I think the older I get, the quicker my muscles lose tone and strength. And maybe part of that is in my head, but I really, it just takes me a lot longer to kind of like get back into the feeling of strength, I guess, that I previously had. And so it's not like after COVID, I just like dove right in and started like running a whole bunch of miles and doing a lot of speed work. It really was still very like, it was a very moderate entry back into running. But even with that, I think because I hadn't been keeping up with my PT exercises or strength work, because I was so tired, you know, I think all of that just kind of accumulated into something happened. I don't even know what, but something happened. I kind of tweaked my knee. And it like this little discomfort didn't go away. And then I went on a couple of more trail runs. Probably wasn't the wisest thing to do, trail runs, but I wanted to. And so I went out there and then I came back from a trail run, like my knee just really hurting. So I had to go back in to my physical therapist, got things assessed. And it seems just like a very minor meniscus injury. But I had to be really, really careful. So it's been a little bit, it's been a little bit frustrating because my runs right now are just like 30 minutes, easy paced running, you know, and a slow build up again. I'm doing a lot more strength work, doing a lot more time on the bike once again. And I'm just trying to keep my mindset and perspective. I just keep trying to reframe, you know, instead of feeling like, oh, why am I so broken? You know, that kind of thing. But just reframing to, okay, I'm learning to, you know, take assessment of all the different factors in my life, even outside of running, because, you know, stress is stress. And we just constantly, I think as parents in general, we just constantly have a lot of things going on. And so just having to recognize and honor my body's needs, whether it is for rest or getting enough sleep or nutrition, all of these factors, oh my gosh, I never really had to like be as serious at paying attention to in the past. I'm just doing that a lot more now. 2 days ago, I went on another easy pace run with a few strides at the end, and everything felt great. I felt strong. But then later that afternoon, was like, my knee got angry. And that kind of sent me a little bit into a spiral, just a little. I was like mad texting my coach and my physical therapist because my knee just hurt really badly yesterday, to the point where, like, even on the bike, I could feel discomfort. So I only rode on the bike for 30 minutes and I just rested. And I was like kind of low-grade panicking. But then this morning, you know, I got a good night's rest. And this morning, everything is fine. So then I had to text my PT again and be like, sorry for being dramatic, but
so I feel no more. So is there a new rule, like no more text messages within 10 minutes of pain? Realize, give me at least 24 hours.
So I don't know. I'm trying not to feel like I'm crazy. But yeah, so nothing super exciting happening here. I'm just wanting to get to the end of July healthy, because I'm going to need to start training for Chicago.
Boom.
So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to get healthy for that.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about some running media stuff in a second.
Okay.
Before I have to go bring my son to basketball camp. But before we do, Diverse We Run feature. Who we got, Carolyn Sue?
Well, so I was thinking, again, I say this every single time, that it is so difficult to pick someone. But
we need to pre-record a disclaimer. We can just audio insert it. Like, from, you know, like the lawyers at like the end of an ad where they talk three times fast and they give like the disclaimer. We're like, we'll just audio insert it, the Carolyn Sue, I love everybody disclaimer. I don't want to single anybody out, but this is a really cool story.
I love everybody. So this one is feature 141, Sarah Lodi. And she is from Pakistan and she currently lives overseas in the United Arab Emirates. And so I got to be honest, like I didn't know much about this region and culture. So, you know, writing up her story, I had to do a little more research and understanding, you know, like all of her references. Like I didn't want to make assumptions on like who is from where and like which culture is what and all of that stuff. But anyway, all that to say, I really appreciated how she shared, you know, culturally speaking, in Pakistani culture, I think there is still kind of a, I guess you could say, traditional gender role mindset. And so it was really countercultural for her to want to be an athlete or even just participate in sports. And she had shared how when she first started running, people would make comments asking her, oh, does your husband allow this? You know, or they'd make fun of her for even like having the desire to run, feeling like that's like a man's thing to do, to compete and to be athletic. But the thing is, for her, growing up, her dad was the role model for her and her siblings, because her dad was the one who encouraged them to try all of these different sports and activities. And because of that, that empowered and enabled her to try, like break through, you know, this barrier and like try new things as an adult and continue now, you know, to participate in the sport and be a role model to women and men, you know, to like break these gender cultural stereotypes. So I appreciate her story, I appreciate her story because it just goes to show how, once again, it's like representation matters, and representation in the way that like, not necessarily saying that you need to have someone who's like who looks exactly like you doing these things, but if you don't have someone to show you what is possible, then like you don't know what you don't know. And if it weren't for her dad, like I don't know, like if she would have discovered sports and like had the wherewithal to continue to persist and endure, you know, amidst like all of the other, I guess, challenges. So, yeah, feature 141, Sarah Lodi.
I love it. Good for her getting out there and making it happen. And, you know, it's also a great example of like, even if there's like larger systemic issues, that you can help somebody with like a little, it's just a little bit of support, but localized and really, really strong support. But, you know, that minimal, like that one-to-one support, even in a larger, tough, societal area, can be enough to maybe just get someone just over the edge of, you know, discomfort or feeling unsafe about something, and not physically unsafe. Like, you know, she's not going in harm's, hopefully not going in harm's way, but just the mental and emotional, you know, safety to say, hey, you should give this a try. You know, if this is something that you really want to do, and that's good for her for going after it, because that can be, I can imagine that being so tough. And I was just talking to Hiba Hefsi on the podcast a couple of weeks ago, and she had a similar story about, you know, here's a woman who's like freaking brilliant, and like she is like absolutely electric. If you can't listen to that podcast or talk to her without being like, oh my God, this person's like amazing, like holy cow, like within 30 seconds of her talking, you know, she graduates high school at 16, graduates medical school like at 21, like she's insane. And yet, like, her husband and dad were like, you shouldn't be running your mother.
Mm-hmm,
what
mm-hmm.
are you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, you know, she had to divorce her husband, you know? And I'm sure that was probably one of the, you know, that led, you know, obviously that's, like, the canary in the coal mine to maybe some bigger issues. But, like, and her, it's funny because, like, her father now is, like, her biggest running advocate.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, he had, like, kind of this certain vision before.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, kind of, like, after a while... You know, they say, like, you lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Like, kudos to him for, like, at least being like, hey, like, yeah, you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you were right. I was wrong. And that can be hard for us to do sometimes, especially when there's entrenched values or, you know, traditions. And hey, both of these people, you know, good for them for going after what they want and, you know, making the most of whatever opportunities they had. And good for you for sharing it, because hopefully you can help other people.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just really speaks to how I think men play such a big role as well in empowering women. So that's another takeaway.
that's a good point. Yeah, it's an everybody issue.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing we want to talk about before we get going is, hey, running media coverage. So very recently, I've been so excited about some live broadcasts that I've been watching over on YouTube, both Broken Arrow Trail Races, Trail Race Weekend for Broken Arrow. They had a couple different races. They had the Vertical K, they had the 26K, they had the 52K. And in addition to that, we had Western States last weekend, right? The Super Bowl of trail running. In addition to that, just one of the biggest running races of the year, no matter what kind of running you like. So that was an enormous weekend, or 2 weeks for me, in terms of back-to-back weekends, watching that online, spending a lot of time in front of the screens, family wondering what I was watching, really confused why I was watching it, and was not engaged at all in terms of wanting to watch it with me. However, I thought it was captivating. Kudos to Dylan Bowman, Corinne Malcolm for hosting both broadcasts. I know Sally McCray and Billy Yang actually stepped in at Western States to give them a break during the middle of the night. And they did a great job, and kudos to the entire production team. Doing these things is incredibly difficult, which is why they're new right now, because the technology that's needed for some of this stuff, a lot of the drone stuff that works before, just getting cell coverage in parts of the Western States course was like, you just don't get cell coverage there, right? So how are you going to broadcast a live, you know, a live sporting event if you can't even like get a cell phone signal? So a lot of the stuff technologically wasn't able to happen years ago. Now it's happening. Some people are comparing it to like the UTMB coverage. It's a little different. Some of these places are just more remote. And it's just harder to get service. And these teams are very lean that are putting on these productions. And I have found them to be unbelievably compelling. It's just really good stuff. And I think part of the reason that I love it is, you know, there's so many reasons, but the landscapes are amazing. So seeing what, you know, where these people are running, especially Broken Arrow. I mean, my gosh, you watch a sky race, you're like, holy cow, this is amazing. It's like watching, like, you almost want like David Attenborough to like do the narration, like the Planet Earth documentaries that you see on Netflix. It's just so beautiful. And then you see that element. It's watching elite athletes do elite things. I think no matter the sport is always compelling. Just seeing elite people doing anything, right? Music, you know, whatever. That's always compelling, especially if you can get a really good view of how they're doing it. That can be kind of a transcendent thing. And also these broadcasts, especially Western States, was able to tell the dedicated amateur runner story in addition to the elite story and not just tell the story, but show it and present it in a way like you have the golden hour at Western States, which is like people trying to make the 30-hour cutoff. And that is unbelievably compelling, especially in person. But you get that sense on when you're watching it through the live stream as well. And I thought their ability to bring everything out in terms of the course, which I know is technologically very difficult, getting the stories of the elites, and then also being able to capture what this course and what this event means for everyday runners who are doing extraordinary things in their own right. I thought it checked all the boxes and I was just blown away. And it makes me like wonder like, hey, what else can we watch here? And how else can we change some of the other broadcasts? Like you watch New York City Marathon, the Boston Marathon on TV. It's really well done, but it's also very, very prepackaged. It's also very heavily focused on the elites, which it makes sense. You're probably having something at NBC. Those are the people who are driving the broadcast. And I would never, you know, I would never say anything different, but it does, I think, present a, but what else can we do for the back of the pack here? Maybe that's not like on the full NBC broadcast channel, maybe like after like the 2.5 hour mark, after both the men's and women's leaders come through, then you switch over to like NBC Plus to watch like the next 2 hours of coverage or things like that. But what else can they do to showcase the everyday runner element here, which is, you know, if you've attended Boston Marathon, You're there in person. It's a compelling piece to the finish line experience, but it's not a compelling piece to the broadcast experience. And it makes me wonder how, again, this isn't a shot at those broadcasts, but it makes me wonder like, hey, maybe we can improve this and use what we've seen elsewhere to inform us how we can make those kinds of broadcast decisions.
Yeah. You know, our mutual friend, Remy, his Instagram is Remy Be Real. That's what he was speaking exactly into that segment where at the Boston Marathon, you know, he set up his camera equipment and tripod and everything and to record and have interviews with, well, it wasn't like he was stopping runners to interview them, but like people who were running by and like kind of taking walking breaks. He would like walk alongside them and cheer them on and all to go on his YouTube channel to kind of just like share the story and the journeys of the non-elite runners in the whole race experience. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think that there is a, I don't want to say market for that. That makes it sound very commercial, but
no, but it's true. Yeah. That is the right word for it. Like you can, just because it's the right word doesn't mean like people have to have a distaste for it. But you know, I feel like there is. I mean, it's why people listen to this podcast is those kinds of stories. You know, I think you have to be kind of like spontaneous if you're a broadcaster. It's like you're not going to know everyone's background story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And things like that. But you can get a sense of the finish line experience, and maybe you can like have some people who've gone through that, dedicated amateur runners, like join the broadcast. This is how I felt when I was coming down this road or this corner, right? And things like that. And it can be like, hey, we have the video feed of people doing amazing things and not zoomed out, zoomed in, right? So you can see the agony or whatever emotions are being expressed. And then in a conjunction to that, because you're not going to be able to be like, hey, there's Tiffany Ashton from, you know, Salt Lake City coming in and, oh, wait till you hear what she did last year. Like they might not have that kind of detail for an amateur runner, but you can have like the audio of like other dedicated amateur runner who's experienced this before tell their story over the top of what hopefully can be some compelling video. And maybe the combination of that can be something that you can get the full experience.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, I know we need to wrap this up, but along those lines, this is exactly something that, you know, our friend Mary Johnson and I were thinking about. And can I segue into this topic? Okay. This is really exciting. So each of us, independently, we had thought about this idea of like, what if we put together a team? And for me, of course, my focus is on like amplifying and providing more accessibility for athletes who are people of color, right? So I was already thinking of like, what if we put together a diverse we run team to run a trail race or any kind of race? And then we like tell stories, you know, and get coverage on that and have people like share their journeys of training, of preparing. Like, what does that look like? I mean, that's kind of the whole intention also behind Diverse We Run in general. It's to share and show how a person's experience in running is influenced and impacted, right? Like by our cultural norms, background, and our race. And so that would be cool to like share this journey for a specific race. And but for me, I lack the coaching expertise and knowledge, right? Like I can like gather the people, but then I would have to, I was like, okay, I got to find sponsorships, or I got to like find partnerships to connect with like providing a coach or a dietitian or like people to provide gear, all of that stuff. In the meantime, I didn't know this, but Mary was having the same idea with her Lift, Run, Perform coaches as well. And, you know, they've worked on these amazing projects in the past, you know, like with coaching a group of women to qualify for the Olympic trials and breaking 3 hours in the marathon and all of this. And now I know that they just formed their teams for helping women qualify for Boston. And so their coaches are, I mean, already like very excellent and very good at what they do. But she felt like what she lacked was the network and like getting the word out to people. So our mutual friend, Stephanie Flippin, just connected us.
Great person. I was texting with Stephanie last night. Doesn't get better than Stephanie Flippin.
So Mary and I jumped on a call together and we realized that, hey, you have this idea. I have this idea. Like, why don't we join forces? And why don't we do this together? So that's what we're doing. And right now we're in the process of getting together, you know, like lining up sponsorships and support, because we really, I feel, you know, very strongly about if we're going to want to make this accessible for people, then like we need to cover everything. Like I want it to be all inclusive. I want it to be where we can get people sponsoring like travel, you know, hotel stay, shoes, nutrition, everything, so that people only need to focus on like training, you know?
All right. And I love this. I love this. So is this like a save the date? Is this a save the date? We don't have any specific details yet about what to do, or is there something you want to share of like where to go?
So we will have applications open soon.
Okay.
So stay tuned. Yeah.
All right. For the love of the run. Thank you so much, Carolyn Sue. And thank you, everybody. I gave you a bad code earlier. The code for Tracksmith is love of the run, not for the love. I was wrong. I was so
I didn't
wrong.
Catch that either.
Love Sorry. Of the run. Thank you, everybody. And happy running. This has been a production of Rambling Runner Podcast. This podcast is produced by David Margetti of In Post Media. Thank you to Meta P for the music. His song, Righteous Path, featuring Rex Mayhem and Chip Fu, is produced by Symphonic Bang.
Yeah. Enterprising in my surroundings, I'm finding the quietest estates these days. Just representation of storm brewing, amazed that the focus remains the vocal focal point of my change. I'm trying to show this industry I got.